Lord, we're so thankful for your sweet spirit that's here with us this morning. Lord, I just pray for a special anointing this morning. That our eyes would be open, that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us, Lord. That we would know that we know that we know you, Father. If there's any here this morning that don't know you, I pray before we leave this service that your Holy Spirit would convict, knock on their heart's door, and that they'd open up and allow you to be Lord of their life. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I had a kind of a unusual week this week. Something that hadn't happened in a long time is I had a night all to myself. And I was really thinking about it, and I think it's probably been over a year since I was at the house all by myself with nobody else there. And so it's Thursday night, and Crystal and Madeline had went out, and Hayden was gone, and I was all by myself, and I thought, I'm going to work on my sermon. But any of you that's ever preached before or prepared a sermon, it ain't like you can just, okay, I'm going to do my sermon, and it's done. It just don't work that way. It doesn't work that way for me. It's like I have to pray, I have to have my mind going right, and I have to be hearing from the Lord, because I don't want it to just be me. And so what happened is I got going, and the Lord was speaking to me, and then it just stopped. And I couldn't go no further, and it's like, so I'm halfway through, and I thought, well, I got a good start on it, you know. And in the sermon, it was like I need to just put it down. So I put it down. Well, then Friday, I've got this Bible app on my phone, and so while I'm driving, I'm listening to the Bible. I'm going through the Bible in a year, and I do real good through the week, but on the weekends, I normally don't listen to it. So sometimes I'll listen ahead, and then sometimes I'll just make up on Monday, Tuesday what I missed for Saturday and Sunday. I normally catch up. I normally don't get ahead. But Friday morning, I just something told me, listen ahead, listen ahead. So I started listening ahead. And when I listened ahead, there was the rest of my sermon that the Lord was trying to say to me. And I got so excited because I normally don't do that. I normally don't listen that far ahead. So this is not a easy sermon, but it's a needed sermon. And last week, for some of you that were here, if you weren't here, you can get it on the YouTube channel. But last week we talked about foundation and having a firm foundation, and can God be trusted to place our firm foundation on? And so, kind of going off of last week's sermon a little bit, I want you to understand the importance for that firm foundation and knowing that God can be trusted. And I want to start with Isaiah 5:20. And it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, I don't know about y'all, but everything I see going on in our society today is calling evil good and good evil. It's crazy what people are calling good now. I heard the other day on American Family Radio that all these states that have tried to defund the police, you know what's happening in those states? The murder rate is skyrocketing. Crime is skyrocketing. Oh, but it's a good thing to not have cops, is what they say. You know, I want you to think about the people that that think abortion is okay. Killing a baby's okay. Killing a baby's good. Killing a baby, it's the mother's choice. That's evil. But yet they call it good. They call good evil and evil good. Woe to them. I don't understand their way of thinking these days. And it's so opposite of what I'm thinking. What people say, and it's like just even common sense stuff, they're so messed up now, And so I think, woe to them. And we can fill in the blanks with you. Woe to them that think abortion's okay. Woe to them that think evil is okay, that think breaking the law is okay. Woe to them, woe to them, woe to them. Matthew 15, verse 14 says, leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. And I see our society and what's taking place is the blind's leading the blind and they're all getting corrupt. They're all falling into a pit. Have you guys ever been walking in the dark with somebody and you can't really see where you're going? And what do? You usually grab a hold of each other, right, so you can see. And what has happened sometimes when you can't see, I've done it before. I've stumbled and I've fallen and then whoever's with me will stumble and fall, right? Because it's the blind leading the blind. And when I look at our society and I look what's going on in our world, it's the blind leading the blind and they're both going to fall into the pit. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ who is in the image of God. I wonder how can they be so blind? How can they call this evil good? How can they stand for it? Well, they've been blinded. They've been blinded, and it's like there's been a dark veil come across our nation in the last several years. Would you guys agree with that? It's like there's just something happening that I've never seen before, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Romans 1:18, I'm going to be there for a minute if you want to open up to Romans 1:18. God's wrath against mankind is what this little section is titled. And it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I want y'all to think about what that just said. What a powerful statement that is. The wrath of God is going to be revealed against those that are doing godlessness and wickedness and suppressing the truth. Those who call evil good and good evil, God's wrath is about to be poured out. And since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I think I've shared this before, and it was 20 years ago, 15 years ago or something, I heard it, so the mind doesn't work as well as it used to, but I remember a story focused on the family where this business owner, it seems like it was in North Carolina or South Carolina, when he was hiring his employees, they always had to take a lie detector test. I don't know what kind of business it was or anything, but with all of his employees, he would always ask them, as just a side note, he'd probably get in trouble for this today, but he'd say, do you believe in God? And every time someone said no, that they don't believe in God, the lie detector test would say that they were lying. Every time. Why? Because there's something inside of all of us that we know there's a God. We know that there is a Creator. We're without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, I think about that veil coming down over the people of today, and I think they know there's a God, but they don't glorify God. They don't thank God. They say they don't believe in God, and their hearts are just getting more and more and more dark. Verse 22, although they claim to be wise, you get on any media site and you hear these people talk, and boy, you think that they are the smartest person, the wisest person in their own mind. They think they've got it all figured out, but they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to be like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. You think that's not happening today? It's happening today. I heard, and I'm not going to name names, but I heard Dr. James Dobson was interviewing a very prominent politician figurehead, and this person claims to be a Christian, claims to be a reverend, and he said, I want to ask you, why do you believe abortion's okay? And he says, I'll answer any question you want. I'll talk to you about anything in the Bible you want, about any policy you want, but I will not talk to you about abortion. You know why he wouldn't talk to him about abortion? Because of the money. Because he's so funded by the abortion industry. He's so funded by it. He's not going to mess up that money and what's coming in. Y'all, we say, oh, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. But how many of us are blinded by things and we work so hard for those new nice things, and it may not be abortion that we've got our mind set on, but it's the materialism of this world, and it's the pleasures of the flesh, and we've exchanged that for the glory of God. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. I heard a preacher, and it's not a preacher that I normally listen to, but he said, God's judgment is coming upon our nation right now, and you can see it in the homosexuality that's taken over. And you see that what's going on is they've exchanged their desires and their natural desires for impure ones. It seems like all the time there's someone coming out that they're homosexuals now. There's someone coming out that they're this, that they're that. I don't even know what all the terms mean anymore. It just doesn't even make sense to me what people are saying. I have no concept because it's so immoral. It's so corrupt. Verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Can I tell you something? Last week we talked about a firm foundation and God's Word being the firm foundation, and can we trust God with that? The knowledge of God, if it's not in our homes, if it's not on our lips, if it's not in our hearts, we better be careful, because we don't know what could happen in our minds, how we could be turned over. God, we have to. It's so important to be retaining the Word of God in our lives. Since they didn't think it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this week, but I would wonder how many of you spent more time watching television than you did reading your Bible. How many of you spent more time out, well, it's not really hunting season, but you know, hunting or out playing in the yard or doing things than you did in the Word of God? Do we really think God's Word is worthwhile to sit down and study and meditate on and think about? Do we really? Because if we don't, we better be careful where we're going and where our minds are taking us. They have been filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. I want you to think about how this world has become and how envious everybody is of what others have. You know, they all want what they've got, but nobody wants to work for it. And the murder, I just said the murder rates are skyrocketing. Strife is and deceit and malice. And you look at what's going on, and it's everywhere. They are gossips. You know what? I'm always talking about abortion or homosexuality and things like that, and we look at that as, oh, that's such a terrible sin, and it is. But what about gossips? How many of you tear up the phone and you tear up the text and the Facebook talking bad about others, and did you know this about so-and-so and this? And it has no place in our Christian lives. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. Social media is all about arrogance and boastfulness and look at me and look at how wonderful I am and how great my family is and my life's so perfect. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decrees, they decree that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, they also approve of those who practice them. And see, that's what really gets me about where your foundation is that they know God's righteous decrees, but they don't do them, and then they approve of those that don't practice them. Y'all, there's like a... It's not boiled up yet. It's just coming. But the hatred for Christians and what we stand for is growing. And that we believe that sin is wrong. That we believe that evil is wrong. And people, I was sharing with the men's meeting Wednesday night. There was a church in Canada. Did y'all hear about this church in Canada that was holding church? And they were surrounded by 200 members of a SWAT team. They put up temporary fences on three sides, had helicopters flying over, armed, to arrest all those people for being at church. Said the neighborhood where the church was, not even the people going to church, were so outraged by what they seen, they came and started tearing down the fences so the church people could get away from being arrested. That's in Canada. We better be careful. And we better know that we know that we know who God is and His righteous decrees. They knew God, His righteous decrees, but they loved their flesh, their sinful natures. They were blinded, and they turned from God and served other gods. They served their flesh. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. How many people have a hardened heart now? They're because they've lived in sin so long, they've hardened their heart, they've been blind, they've called the evil good, and their hearts are just so hard. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. I think I might have read this verse recently, but I have written out beside it, sin never satisfies. Why? Because they had a continual lust for more and more and more. They'd lost all sensitivity. Verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of Him and were taught in Him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. There's an old nature that we need to crucify, that it needs to die because it's got these deceitful desires that's tugs at our hearts. Does anybody else ever experience that? I do. in these old desires to make that comment, to say that thing, to look at something I shouldn't look at, to try and get ahead, to talk bad about someone, to be jealous, to all those old evil desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. I talk about that so much. I might need to talk about it again. But the new attitude in our mind. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Y'all, that is who we are now. That we're created to be like God in true righteousness and true holiness. We gotta quit grabbing hold of what the world has to offer. Put off that old self and its corrupt desires. Quit indulging in what the flesh wants and that continual lust for more. Because we've all experienced that. You get something and you think it's going to satisfy, but it don't satisfy. So you go further and you go further and you go further. Many of y'all know the famous serial killer Ted Bundy. And I heard an interview on him, and he said that he really thought that his obsession and murder and rape and all that began at a young age, looking at magazines that he shouldn't have looked at. And it started feeding something inside of him that could no longer be satisfied by magazines, by videos, and then it went into something else. Y'all, sin never satisfies. There's a lust for more. Do we have a good foundation? Can we truly see the light and the path that God has placed us on and not be deceived? John 10, 4 through 5 says, when he brought out his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And when I was thinking about how the world now is calling evil good and good evil, woe to them, and I was thinking about how corrupt our society has become, and I thought, they're listening to the wrong voice. They're listening to the wrong voice now. They're chasing after the voice of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. But Jesus is saying, my sheep, they know my voice, and when they hear a stranger's voice, they'll run away from it. Have any of y'all ever run away from that strange voice? I remember years ago when I worked at UPS part-time, and I'd just become a Christian, and I was so on fire for God and so excited and everything. But I was struggling one day, and I remember being, there was this conveyor belt going by, and I had, I don't remember, 3 or 4 trucks that I was loading. I'd have to run out and grab packages and go put them in the right spot of that truck. And sometimes when the packages were coming too quick, you just have to throw them down and then sort them out and put them in that truck. But one day I was having a real bad day. And I remember crying out in a loud voice, Satan, get away from me! Just stop! I had to say it out loud, and I was just, because I could feel that so much and that desire. I probably should do that a little more often, and people look at me like I'm crazy, like Nolan just did. You're like, why is he yelling up there? But y'all, that desire, that fleshly desire. I want to go back to 1 Kings now, chapter 13. And as far as the foundation, as far as hearing God's voice, as far as knowing God's voice, and not following a stranger's voice, and not getting off the path where our hearts have become hard. 1 Kings 13, verse 7. And so the man of God has come to rebuke the king. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, so I'm going to start about verse 7. And it said, the king said to the man of God, come home with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift. But the man of God answered the king, even if you were giving me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came. So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. You see what he's saying there? He's saying, God told me I'm not to eat anything or drink anything, and I'm even to take a different path home. So King, even if you offered me half of your possessions, I'm not staying. He was obeying the voice of God. He knew the voice of God. He was obeying the voice of God. And that's hopefully many of us today. We know the voice of God. We're obeying the voice of God. Verse 11. Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel whose son came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, which way did he go? And his son showed him which road the man of God from Judah had taken. So he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and asked, are you the man of God who came from Judah? I am, he replied. So the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. The man of God said, I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. The old prophet answered, I am too a prophet as you are. And an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that you may eat bread and drink water. But he was lying. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. That is such a sad story. Because here this man is supposed to be a man of God that he can trust. And he says, well, God told me that I'm supposed to bring you back and feed you and give you something to drink. So he returned with him. Y'all, this is where, okay, it gets a little bit in your personal life. Do you know that you know that you know God's voice? Now, we're here to encourage one another, to build each other up. We're to meet together for that. There's example after example in the Bible of having godly men, godly women around you to give you advice and to help you. But when you know that God's told you to do something, you do it. You just have to do it. But what happens is that deception comes in. Satan is a deceiver, right? And that deception, that's how he did it with Eve. Did God really say you can't eat of anything? Did God really? And here this man of God first resisted the king who could have made him wealthy, to now a man who says, I'm also a prophet, and God says, come on back with me. We have to be so careful the voice that we're listening to. And we have to be so obedient to what God's told us to do. I would think there's probably people in this room right now that God's told you to do something and you still hadn't done it because of fear, you're worried of the outcome, because you just don't have the courage, there's millions and millions of reasons because did God really tell me to do that? Did God really tell me to do that? And Satan in the flesh is coming in saying, oh, God wouldn't tell you to do that. And that deceiving spirit is there. And this man of God goes back with someone who told him a lie. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will be found buried in the tomb of your, will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers. Isn't that something that the man of God that lied prophesied against the man of God that was disobedient and coming back? And what happens when the man of God had finished eating and drinking? The prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. And as he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown down on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. He disobeyed. he disobeyed the voice of God. How is your foundation today? Are you obeying the voice of God? Are you listening to your friends? Are you listening to your family? Are you listening to the news? Are you listening to the media? Who are you listening to? I got convicted last weekend about something. My kids hate it when I talk about them. Okay, but I'm going to talk about them anyway because I love them and hopefully they love me. But Amy and Kyle, it was our nephew's prom, and so we just went to see him dressed up for prom, and they took pictures and all that. And Amy and Kyle and us had decided we were going to go eat dinner someplace, so we was going to go eat Mexican. And Hayden had come over and was to see Ethan and everything. Then he went home to cook a frozen pizza. Okay, or he'd already cooked a frozen pizza, and I'm like, "Hey, just come with us. Just come on. Everybody's going. Just come with us." He's like, "Dad, I got to study. I got work to do." And so I didn't say anything else. And then a little while later, I'm like, "Come on, Hayden. Just it ain't gonna hurt you. We won't be out late." He's like, "Dad, I've got too much work to do. I've got to go home." And so as I'm driving and I'm thinking and I have talks with my kids about being responsible and being disciplined and studying and doing your work and doing what you're supposed to do. And the Lord's like saying, and then you're trying to convince them to not study to go out and eat dinner with you. What's wrong with you, Pete? What's wrong with you? He was supposed to stay home and study, and you're badgering him saying, come on and eat with us. Come on and have a good time. Now, I love my son. I want the best for my son. But I was trying to lead him astray because he needed to stay home and study that night. Y'all, the voice of God, He loves you so much, but we got to know that we know that we know God's voice and that we're listening to God's voice and that we're not being led astray by the world, by our fleshly desires. There's so many people that make bad decisions and they give God glory for it. And they say, "God told me to do this." And I think, "God didn't tell you to do that." And then when their life's in a mess and they go, "Well, I was following God." Were you really, or was that your flesh? Were you really, or was that Satan deceiving you? So we have to know that we know that we know God's voice. And when we hear a word from God, we don't disobey. We do it. Whether it's someone that loves you tells you differently. Whether it's someone that you respect tells you differently, when you know that you know that you know God's voice, you don't disobey. Ephesians 5:6 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath is coming on those who are disobedient." Church, can I tell you something? That God's word is His voice to us. You guys agree with that? This is God's voice to us. And I don't want anybody to deceive you. And I don't want anybody saying evil good and good evil and messing you up. Because if you want to know what God has to say about something, it's right here. And God's not going to give you a revelation that goes against His Word. He's not going to do it. You think you found some new insight. You think you found something and you're with your buddies. You're with your friends. You're doing a deep Bible study and it contradicts something in the Bible. It's not God. It's a deceiving spirit. And you better make sure your foundation is secure enough in the Word of God and that you know God's voice well enough that you're not led away, as it talks about in Romans, and deceived and messed up and turned over to a reprobate mind. Luke 11:28 says, He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Are you hearing the word of God and are you obeying it? That is what's important, y'all, is hearing this word, obeying what it says. And this morning when I was reading over everything, I felt like the Lord wanted me to add in, and we're going to finish up right here. Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains." I'm not an end time Bible prophecy expert. And maybe we're just getting to the end of America and not the end times. But y'all, something's going on. Something's going on in our world. And verse 9 says, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." The hatred for Christianity is growing and growing and growing. And says, "At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." When you look at the true definition of love and the lack of it today, everybody is about tolerance and acceptance today, and oh, you're a bigot or whatever if you don't accept this. But no, if you love people, you tell them the truth. And the truth is that God's wrath is coming on those who are disobedient. And that's what true love is. But the most have their love will grow cold. "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Verse 10, "At that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other." Hayden was sharing with us last night a friend that has come out and renounced their faith and said that they're no longer believing God. I've heard many that do that, and many that are somehow being deceived. How are they being so deceived? Because they don't have that firm foundation. Because they've been led away by evil desires. Because of some impurity or something in their life has caused them to doubt. And we've seen time and time again evil good and good evil. And this world is manipulative, and it's trying to destroy each and every one of us. It's trying to destroy our families. It's trying to destroy our friends. It's trying to destroy our churches. And so can I tell you, make sure that you know that you know that you know God's voice. Make sure that you know that you know that you know God's Word, so that you can stand firm till the end and you will be saved. You will. All of us, if we stand firm to the end, we will be saved. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let the fleshly desires take control. I told you this was not a fun, so to speak, sermon today, but I think it's a needed sermon. And I hope and I pray that each one of you will examine your life and say, what voice have I really been listening to? There's voices all the time coming into our minds. There's voices all the time but do we know God's voice? Do we know God's voice beyond a shadow of a doubt? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me for the times that I've allowed the flesh to take control, and Lord, the times that I've been lazy and not opened up your word, the times that I've been distracted by things of this world and chase after them instead of chasing after you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that if any of us have been deceived, if any of us are on a wrong track right now, that you would convict us, that you would open up our eyes, that we would see that we'd repent, that we'd confess that as sin, and that we would begin to listen for your voice, that still small voice once again, and that we would study your word and know that you are speaking to each and every one of us through your word. Father, I pray that everybody in this room, Lord, that we would remain faithful, that our homes, that our families, that our lives would be built on the firm foundation of Your Word. And we would not give in to the fleshly desires anymore, but seek only You and Your righteousness and Your holiness, and that we would be obedient. Even when times get hard, even when our friends and family and those around us turn their back on us, may we remain faithful to You, Heavenly Father. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If any of you need prayer for anything this morning, come. If any of you maybe got off track and you're not sure where your life's taken you, you're not sure what exactly you're doing, now's the time to pray and cry out. Seek God. He'll be there. He'll meet you there. However the Lord leads now.
I need You more.
Man, when you read some of the Old Testament and the consequences for sin, was immediate and it was swift and it was final. And when I think about God's mercy in my life and how many times I've been disobedient and how many times that I've not heeded His Word and listened to His instructions and done what I knew He told me to do, and but I'm still here getting another day, getting another opportunity. But church, I'm telling you, we don't need to wait. You don't need to wait till you're in the middle of the storm to figure out how everything works, right? We need to know the Word of God. We need to know God's voice so that we're not deceived. So that our friends, our family, or society, when the struggles come, when the tough times come, Satan can't pull us away like Hayden's friend. He needs prayer. He's been deceived. Why? Because he was going through a tough time, because he was going through a struggle, and now all at once he says he no longer believes. But y'all, I love what my brother-in-law Travis has said. And I think it was Travis that said it. I don't think he got it from someone else. And it is so true. He said that knowing God, knowing Jesus, is like knowing me. He said, if somebody says, Pete doesn't exist. He's not there. He says, how can you tell me Pete doesn't exist? I know him. I've had dinner with him. I've hung out with him. How can you tell me he doesn't exist? I know him. You can't tell me he doesn't exist. And he said, the reality of God in his life is the same way. He's so real. You can't tell me he doesn't exist. You can't tell me I don't know him, because I know him. I've heard his voice. I've seen his hand. I know him. I love that. Do you know God that way? Do you know the Lord that way, that no matter what anybody says, you're not going to doubt? No matter what storms in life happen, you're not going to waver. I know that I know that I know Him. If you don't, get to know Him. Get to know Him today. Don't wait. 6 o'clock tonight, I don't know what's going to happen. We might come in and everybody sit around and pray quietly. We might sit and visit for an hour. We might jump up and sing and dance. I don't know, but we're going to open up the church tonight at 6, anybody that wants to come. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.